What is God like? How far does he go down to help us? What is his answer to the misery that we have chosen? Does God really forgive sins? Stay tuned for Abounding Grace Radio.
Preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Today we're looking at Jonah chapter 4 and Jonah's struggle with God over the fact that the Lord showed grace to wicked Nineveh. We're going to learn so much today about grace, about gospel, about response, and of the problem of despising grace, and really the problem of the older prodigal son who lived in his father's house and didn't appreciate his father at all. Well, thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. The web address is agradio.org. Well, the message you are about to hear is taken from Jonah chapter 4. This is part 2 of a message that we aired yesterday titled, Looking at Jonah in the Mirror. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
The irony here is that Jonah had experienced the worst rebellion, direct defiance against the express will of God in chapter 1. And what did God do to him, for him when he cried to him? Well, he forgave the debt. He let it go. He pulled him up out of the bottom of the ocean and he let him free to go do his will. And then he goes and puts his hands around Nineveh's neck. You see? It showed that his life in that repentance that was described of Nineveh, they believed the word, they humbled themselves, they turned from their sins, they cried out to the God in total seriousness. They didn't walk away from the word and just laugh it off or have a bitter spirit to it off. They took it so seriously, they got on their knees. And already that's foreign to the life of Jonah. Already, from chapter 2 to 4, that's foreign. Something's still wrong. If you confronted his life and he felt pressed to turn from his ways in worship by the word of God, he would have left a bitter, complaining son. Now that challenges us, doesn't it? Of course it does. What we actually need at points like this in life are real experiences to teach us things. Because you can say things conceptually and you can continue to preach things, but God does intervene often with real life experience to train us and instruct us. I can conceptually teach these things all day. You're saved by grace, not of works. That should produce this, not this. That should make us respond this way, not this way. But sometimes we need a different kind of intervention, don't we? Of course we do. It won't really come about until you've actually experienced in trial what I'm talking about. And that itself is an act of mercy. That's what we have to see here. That's the marvel of the Lord in all this. I'll come to this here in a minute. The marvel of the Lord is he's so good and long-suffering, compassionate to Jonah. He's really not giving him what he deserves. Jonah should have been put out right now, huh? But look at him. Look at your Lord. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So what does God do? Well, Jonah has to have some kind of personal experience to learn something. So you notice what happens in verse 5 as God begins to train him and teach him. Jonah goes out on the city, and he sits on the east side of the city. There he made for himself a little booth, and sat under it in the shade. There's irony here, there's play here. It's the word for tabernacle. God meets with me, right? We learn why in the next breath that Jonah has done this to see what would happen to the city. Well, God already told us at the end of chapter 3 that he relented from the disaster that he said he would do. The language here is the same language of Sodom and Gomorrah. So that when God told Lot to leave and to not look back, Jonah goes and sits out and looks back for the show. We just traveled earlier in the summer to I-40 meteor crater. And this meteor struck the earth, I don't know how many years ago, and it's a mile long. It is just impressive. Some of you won't pay the money to see it, but I was forced to. So, Jonah, I want to see meteor crater fall on Nineveh, and I'm waiting for this to happen. I'm going to sit here until it happens. So he builds himself a little house out there. He's not leaving until this happens. He's sitting on the east side. What a mess of a prophet, huh? This is God's prophet. The most amazing thing happens is that it gets blistering hot out there. God, out of his sheer kindness, sees that Jonah is really having a hard time in the heat. So he prepares a plant for Jonah. It comes over Jonah, it grows up. It must have been a wonderful plant. Jonah sees this plant, and Jonah is absolutely taken by the plant. This vine, and the verb here is really interesting, this vine saved him, it says. Saved him. Interesting. All the purposeful word discomfort from the heat. For the first time, we get joy in the prophet. This is one happy prophet now. This is the first time we get a real joyful prophet. It says in verse 6, he rejoiced with great joy over the plant. He loves this plant. He's got a little desert oasis out there he's just built for himself, and actually God has made it better for him. I'm sure he felt so blessed of the Lord at this moment. You notice how happy you can get over something new? New home, new car. You know the effect. You know how you feel. It's exciting. It's happy. It's made life easier. It's made life exciting for you. Here came the lesson. The next day, God prepared a worm. He's been preparing everything in this book, by the way, which should give us some perspective on the sovereignty of God. He had prepared the whole book. He had prepared in the sovereignty the storm. He prepared the fish. He prepared the plant. He's prepared the worm. And now he's about ready to prepare a wind. We're not deists. He's very much involved in our lives. It says that the next day, this worm is appointed by God to come and eat the plant. So the sun comes, and now comes this blistering hot sun, and God now appoints a wind. This is like a Santa Ana out in the desert, in the hot desert, and you got a 70-mile-an-hour wind coming at you. Next breath, I want to die. Give me death. I can't deal with this. Better for me to die than to live. And here comes the first question from the Lord. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Yes. And it's right for me to be angry even to death. So that's right. You kill me. Put me out. Put me out of my misery. You ever notice how much attention you give to your boots? I mean, your houses. God daily loads us with benefits, doesn't he? He's so good to us. He gives us so much to enjoy in this life. We don't deserve a lick of it, but he does. We give so much attention to those homes. We love our homes. Oh, we love our homes. Our happiness really is bound up there, isn't it? We've lived so well under blessing, and I'm not disparaging. I'm not criticizing that. God is so good. He gives you all that to enjoy. He gives you things to enjoy. Don't judge another man for another man's home. He gave that to him to enjoy, right? We do this stuff all the time. Don't do that. God gave it to him. What happens when we live so well under that blessing? We become completely hardened to the greatest blessing. Our necks get stiff. You know what we have here? Jonah, looking in a mirror. This is me. I'm this kind of prophet. This is you. It's a mirror for those who have only known in their life. Listen carefully. It's a mirror for those who have only known in their life the blessing of the Lord and can trace that back a long time. Baptized, Christian this, Christian that, Christian, 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 Christian. Got it all. What's the attitude exposed here? I saw a video this week of two kids in Chicago, probably seven, walking the streets, no mother. One pulls out a gun. The other has drugs he's selling. Seven. Are we better? Because we can shelter our kids from all that? So we overload, and we've got all this blessing. We have everything given. Cars, college, everything. Are we taught to be thankful? At least do we teach our kids to be thankful for what matters the most? The Lord? When God prepares a worm and a wind, the heart is exposed, isn't it? And what did it expose? What happens if in one day an east wind came from God and everything was taken? What would it expose? Happened to Job. Isn't this where Jonah is? Mad at everything, bitter at everything, and yet he had everything. Explain that. All of it showed in a heart that was intensely bitter toward the Lord. Bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. A root of bitterness, the Bible says, springing up. One pastor said, experience shows that self-centered people are the most unhappy. They constantly complain. They're never satisfied. They take no joy out of life. They give little joy to others and precious little glory to the Lord. Unless our hearts become consumed with something which causes and glories in something far greater than that of self, we waste our gifts and calling and sit miserably under the beating sun of the world's trials, wishing we could die. And all of that takes us to the heart of God's question. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? You trimmed that vine, didn't you? You love that vine, don't you? I mean, that is a wonderful luxury God's given you out in the oasis, in the desert as you're heading home. But you didn't make it. Nor did you make it grow. It came up one night and it perished in the next, which is, by the way, our lives. See the question? Your happiness is bound up there with these things that I graciously gave you. You didn't deserve any. Notice how wonderful the Lord is. Notice he's not slamming his prophet. He's instructing him. He loves him. I just can't get over it. You didn't deserve any of this. You had no corner on my mercy. Everything you have has been by grace. It always will be. Everything I've given you. And I took away your plant for an hour. Look at you. Look at you. What is this exposed? All of the goodness that you've enjoyed from me, you've taken and forgotten your greatest need. Let's get to the context of the book. You've forgotten your greatest need. Do you think life is about booths? Do you think life is about resorts? I give those to you to enjoy. But do you think that's what this is all about? Now translate to Israel. Israel would say, ah, for what great nation is there that God has so near to it that the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason, we may call on the Lord our God, and he answers us. But they forgot to call on the Lord for mercy themselves. You know we need it every day. I have a theory. If you can say everything's just perfect in your life, everything is perfect, your family, your money, you've got a good job, beautiful home, everything is perfect except this one lingering thing that makes you bothered and gives you a root of bitterness called the church. If everything's perfect except that area of your life, that's a test. That's exposure. If it's the one source that bursts the largest complaining and bitterness, that is a good gauge of where you are. It's then that you need a worm and a wind sent to you to remember what this is all about. I need mercy and you need mercy. That's what I'm saying. We all need mercy. That's the point of this. And I love after this painful confrontation and all exposes, here's your God. Listen to his question. Jonah, you rejoiced over a plant you didn't even create. You didn't even work for it. But it's just a plant I gave you. So, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons, people made in my image, who can't discern between their right hand and their left and much livestock? What a picture, huh? Should I not? You're worried about your little desert oasis and all your comforts of life, and you didn't make any of that. You didn't prepare any of that. You're running around worried about all that. That's what I give you. I gave you all that and can take it away in the night. Nineveh has all kinds of people entrapped in their sins, and I made them. I made those people. Don't you care? And just listen to the oracle against Nineveh just for a second in Nahum. The book of the vision of Naaman of Elkosh, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. Jonah would have said, amen. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. See his control over everything? The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him. The world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. You care about your plant? Isn't that a big problem? And the Lord's saying here, we can remedy that. We can remedy this. We can satisfy this justice. But that's why I'm sending you, Jonah. That's my plant too. Nineveh's my plant too. You're not the only plant. You're not the only plant. They don't know how to get out. So if that reality is wrath and judgment, and they don't know how to get out, why do you think you're here? They're helpless. Don't you think this is bigger than you? If you've known mercy and you've known pity, shouldn't this be your concern? Because it's my concern. Remember, when you went down to Sheol, you described it in the belly of the fish, and you said that was awful. That was like it was separation from God, being barred off forever. Surely they matter more than a plant, Jonah. Why does your bitter anger, what does your bitter anger against me really say? What does your bitter anger against my house I've given you and a people and a flock? What does that all really say? You're mad at grace. You're discontent with life and you're bitter at me. And for what reason? You see, God gave us a much greater gift, a much greater than Jonah. God gave us of his best. He gave us his son. He didn't look out for his interests at all when he came here. He denied himself. He was concerned with one thing. He went willingly down, down, down. Think of Jonah, down, 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 all the way into hell for us. He faced separation. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then he was raised for our justification. The great thing that the Father has given you, the greatest gift, is his son. A son who was so concerned when he came here that he said, all that the Father has given me, I will never cast out, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given me, but raise it up on the last day. That's what he's concerned about. He's going to get the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's fulfilling Psalm 80. But this book functions as a call to Israel in the midst of this. It's time to wake up to your God. There's a big project going on in the world. It's time for you to wake up to your God. That's the effect of this book. He's calling you. But it shows something of the incredible character of God, doesn't it? That's why I love this. He's just, and he can't tolerate sin, but he desires what? Instead of judgment, mercy. If you know this, then you know the most amazing display of the intention of God to give mercy and not judgment has been shown to you. Those whom we think have done the most ruthless things, he looks at them and says, look at the people all around. They're mulling around. They're running through life. They don't know their right hand from their left and much cattle. They don't know. They have no direction in life. You sit there and say, how could it be that people act that way? They don't have any direction. Sometimes we're so buried with our lives, we never see it. And look at the love for Jonah here in the midst of all this conviction. It is a love for Jonah. A desire to help even him. This is us. But in all this, remember what was said to us in chapter 2, that salvation is of the Lord. It was Jesus who came to seek and to save that which is lost. He will get them. He is our Jonah. He went to the depths. He rose to give us salvation. And such a merciful God with hands outstretched should then cause us to respond like Nineveh responds. Right? Isn't that one of the main points here? Such a good, merciful God. Outstretched arms should drive us this way. When he gives us booths and he gives us plants and he gives us houses and he gives us all this blessing to enjoy. Or when he gives you a worm and a wind. We should in every circumstance remember what this book has taught us, right? Salvation is of the Lord. We're needy just as much. We're beggars just as much. We realize our great purpose here is to care for other beggars like us and to show them with joyful hearts the gospel that we confess, that we believe. It's amazing. I'll close with this thought. The book of Jonah ends with that great question to Jonah. Should I not show mercy to them? Well, he did. And guess what they did? They repented. Did Jonah repent? Well, history doesn't tell us. I think God left that wide open for Israel and to always be a teaching point for us. If you've known the incredible knowledge of God in his gospel that he's made known to you all your life, how much more then as we turn from our sins and show that we love the Lord Jesus Christ by responding in true faith, how much more should we desire it to be shown in a world that doesn't know its right hand from its left and much cattle? show whether we really understand how gracious God has been to us.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.